Good morning and welcome to the morning Sunday school. We are already halfway through the book of Philippians. And so we need to see what have we learned. Paul has been telling the Philippians encouragement, and what have we learned from this book so far? Have we learned the lessons that he's telling us, or are they going here to the other ear? As we have gone, Pastor has been started it off, and I've been going through the rest. How do we blend with the world? Do we blend in with the world like chameleons, or are we making a difference when we go out of our house? Can they say those people are Christians without you even saying nothing to them? The way we speak, the way we dress, what we see, and where we go says a lot about us. Okay, it just does. Okay. How is our spirit with God? Okay. Do we dwell mostly on the things that we don't have and complain instead of rejoicing in the things that God has given us and enjoy life? As Paul has said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord sometimes, always. Okay, always. Whether things are going good, whether things are going bad, we need to rejoice in the Lord always, okay? And then I remember Pastor talking about the devil's way and God's way. Let's go to Hebrews 11:25 right away. And I'm just going over what we have been going over in these two chapters. And in Hebrews chapter 11:25, it says, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We need to be very careful. What are we choosing? The things. Remember Moses chose to suffer when he had everything going, but he chose to suffer for a season the things of this world, and he compared him to those that were eternal. And so this is what Pastor had been talking about. And then we go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms right away. Psalm 16. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. When we compare the pleasures of this world to eternity, there's no comparison at all. Okay? So we need to be very careful as Christians. And this is what Paul was telling the Philippians church, that now we belong to God, and yes, we are in the world, but we don't belong here. We are pilgrims passing by, and whatever the world's enjoying one day, it'll be over, but we'll be spending eternity with our Lord and Savior. Okay? So, as we go into the book of Philippians 2, we're now at Philippians 2:17 and 18. But before we go there, and the theme of this chapter 6 is now a praised work. When we do something and after we do it and we look at it and we feel good about it, don't we? Or when somebody comes and helps you and does something for you and you tell them, thank you. That looks good, doesn't it? It makes you feel good and it makes them feel good. And this is the encouragement that Paul was trying to encourage the young church. And so if we go, it's a praise work. If we look at Philippians 2, let's go right there. Philippians 2. And I'm going to go over, remember, the theme of Philippians is rejoice in the Lord always. And that's in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And why? Because there's gonna come times in our lives that we'll suffer in a way or another. Okay? There's going to be times where we are going to be given the chance to serve the Lord. Okay, how are we going to do it? Are we rejoicing in serving the Lord, whether it causes me or you? Are we willing to serve Him? Okay, so chapter 1 is about joy in suffering. That's the theme of chapter 1, the joy in suffering for Christ. In chapter 2, the theme of chapter 2 is joy in serving the Lord. Okay? In chapter 3, there is joy in believing in Christ. That's a theme right there. And in chapter 4, joy in giving. And there's certainly joy in all this, but we put all this together and we make it work for the honor and glory of God. Right now we'll be in chapter 2, 17 and 18. But before that, I'm going to go just to Daniel because it's called a praised work. And if you look at Daniel 3, 17, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, okay, they were taken prisoners or as slaves from Jerusalem. But before they were taken, they served the Lord in Jerusalem. And it's like you and me, it doesn't matter if we're here, if we're in California, it doesn't matter where we are at, we will be serving the Lord because it's in our heart to serve the Lord. Whether we're going through trials, whether we made it big, you know what the thing of the child of God is? When you are well off, you don't boast. You praise the Lord. There's joy in having. When you are sick and you don't understand like Job, but you say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, to Him be the glory. There's joy in there. There should be joy in your heart 24/7 until the Lord comes for us. Okay? We cannot be depending on what we have because the minute that we don't have it, we're going to complain to God. But the joy should come that we know where we're going one day. And that joy should encourage others. Okay? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told when they came, Nebuchadnezzar knew that they were Christians. He picked them. He picked them and Daniel and others. Because he knew that they were different than the rest. But then there was a group. It went to his head. Nebuchadnezzar made an image 90 feet tall. About 9 feet wide. Not so much. That wide right there. And then 90 feet. And he said, And whosoever does not fall down when you hear music and all that, you might have been working in the field, but when you hear the, when you would hear the trumpet and you were too far, you know what they would do right there? They would turn around towards that image and they would bow down to that image. That's the world. And so when Meshach, Shadrach, were told, some of the guards and the captains of Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? We worship you, but there's some people over there, they're called Christians, and they will not bow down to your image. Praise the Lord for people that will not bow down to the sins of the world. And so they were bought before Nebuchadnezzar, and remember, they had a high position. And can you imagine, say, well, I'm making a lot of money, and if I don't bow down, all I have to do is bow down to that image, and I'll keep my job. No, they would have never been happy knowing that they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So they said, and look at what it says on verse 17, when they come, if you worship me, then it'll be fine, but if not, I'm going to throw you to the fiery furnace. And who is that God that will be able to deliver me, to deliver you guys from my hand? See, he was depending on himself. But look what they say in 17, 3:17. If it be so, our God whom we what? Serve. We're talking about serving the Lord. Our God, they didn't say our God whom we know. No, it says our God whom we serve. They had been serving the Lord. They had passed through trials already, just like you and me. But we remain faithful to him because one day we know where we're going. We have that assurance. So he says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will. Look at what assurance they say. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. They were about to be sacrificed for their belief. What about us when we go through trials? Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves for the honor and glory of God? Or will we say, no, that's just too much. God, I'm sorry, not me. Why did you pick me? I mean, Joel was special. I don't have his strength. You know what? If God allows you to go through a trial, it's because he knows you can handle it. But the devil will try to discourage you. The world will try to discourage you. Okay? So now we go to Philippians. We go to Philippians 2:17. My Bible's so torn. 2:17, and we are now halfway through the book of Philippians. Okay? And Paul was going through the same persecutions. It says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, he didn't know if he was going to die. Remember, he's in prison now in Rome. And service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Again, remember Paul had founded the church in his second missionary trip. And he was very faithful. You know, I really believe that Stephen had a great impact in the life of Paul, when he was stoned and Paul was looking at his faith, that he did not waver And he died. And as Paul was saying, he was furious going to Damascus trying to kill the rest of the Christians because of the faith that he had in his religion. He had faith in his religion, but he did not know God. Okay? So on his second missionary trip, when he goes, remember his first missionary trip, he got stoned at Iconium, debris and all that, and he got stoned, and he got up, shook it off, came back, and then the second trip he goes, and he takes Timothy with him, and he goes down to Philippi, and he starts preaching the word of God, and for the first time they are hearing God's word, and you know what? There's many believers because of his faith. Many start believing in Christ. And that's how this church started. And then all of a sudden, again, Paul gets put into prison and gets whipped about 49 times. And can you imagine, have you seen two boxers? Before they were 15 rounds. Now I think they lowered it to 12 rounds. I guess that there was too much, but too many rounds. But can you imagine two guys with boxing gloves and they're beating on each other, defending each other with boxing gloves, and at the end of 12 rounds, how do their faces look? Can you imagine when they took Silas and Paul to prison and they tied them, and I don't know if they're this way. Can you imagine with a big old whip, and can you? I can just imagine Michael being the guard whipping me. No. I mean, would you want him to whip you, or would you want Margo to whip you? Margo, I'm here, I'm all yours. But so they got whipped, and in the middle of the night they're singing, they're praising the Lord, and the guard cannot believe it. They're singing. All of a sudden, they are let out and all that, and so when they get out, the people saying, I mean, if it was me, say, Lord, I'm sorry, but this is too much for me. I quit. Paul knew he had a job. You and I know that we have a job as Christians to keep on walking. And the world, we live in a wicked, wicked world. Things are not going to get better. Will we start acting like chameleons and kind of blend into the world because of the pressures? Or will we be different and say those people are Christians? They are different. And this is what Paul was rejoicing. He was in prison writing. Okay, he was writing to the Philippians. And have you ever heard, seen, and it's happened to me where I go to the hospital to encourage somebody and I wind up being encouraged by them. So Paul was encouraging them. He was excited because of what he had done. The church grew, and it was growing and growing, and the brothers there were helping each other. And you know what they were doing? They were sending offerings through some of the brothers, sometimes through Timothy, and they would send it all the way up to Rome. And he was very encouraged. I said, I praise the Lord that the Philippians were going through the same trial that Paul was going. There was a lot of persecution in that time at the church. Don't think that it was all roses for them. No, they were going through the same thing that Paul went through. Many were getting whipped. Many were getting thrown in jail. But the faith that they saw in Paul rubbed on to them. And this is what we need to do. Our faith needs to rub onto the world so that they may see a difference in us. And so joy is a byproduct of service. Paul was rejoicing over the ministry of these believers, and they were rejoicing likewise in the ministry that God had given him. Have you ever noticed that the churches that give up their outreach programs are not happy churches? I thank God for the ministries we have around here. And it says here, it's where there's people that are always active for the honor and glory of God, there is joy. There's always joy. There is joy. If you look around, you know what? The first thing I look in a church when I pass by, is that church clean? Or is that church all dirty? Because if it's clean, somebody had to clean it. You go inside. Right now, the church is clean inside. Even though you don't know who did it, the church is clean. Somebody did it with joy. Okay? When I'm up here or pastor or anybody, you can hear me because there's people back there that you don't even see taking care of the sound. And they do it with joy. And you don't even see them. When you hear the choir singing up there, you don't know the hours that they took, the one directing the music, all the time it took. So when you come and sit here and they sing real nice, oh, that was so good. They did it with joy for the honor and glory of God. And when we have ministries like that, this is what Paul wanted us to do service with joy unto the Lord. Because if you're coming to church to sit down and you have many opportunities to serve here, and if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to be eating, and go out of here. But when you put to work what you've learned, and you rejoice in helping when we help one another, it's just amazing how the Lord works with people. When the songwriter wrote, "There is joy in serving Jesus," okay, he didn't say, "There is joy in knowing Jesus." No, but he said, "In serving." It brings joy when we serve the Lord. One day we'll be up there and the Lord will say, "Well done, my faithful servant." Enter into the joy. And knowing that you were part of somebody's salvation, I was joying in the Lord when Christina's granddaughter said, "I accepted Jesus." How did it make you feel? It's part of when we get up there, knowing that you were part of it, that prayers made a difference, it brings joy in my heart. It brings joy in our heart. Pastor Chapel has often said, "I would rather be tired and happy than well rested and miserable." Yes, we need to be very careful. That brings me to John 13:17. It says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." There's a condition right there, okay? If we know the Bible, you know that the Bible does us good. It tells us what to do, what not to do, how to forgive a brother. How it tells us everything in here. There's nothing that you can't think of or say that the Bible already doesn't say it. And you know what? It's good to read the Bible. You know that there's 31,102 verses in the entire Bible. I've read the Bible on my 13th time through. I'm going there. But you know what? It doesn't mean no good if I read the Bible if I don't put it to practice in my life. If I read the Bible and you don't see a change in my life, something is wrong. And so we need to be careful. The philosopher Karl Marx born in the 1800s. He was a philosopher, okay? I was reading that it says that he memorized Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as a teenager, okay? And he could quote in public any verse or the whole chapter word perfect. But look what it says. But he died as an atheist. He died as an atheist. Look him up in Google, whatever, that he was a smart man without God. And sometimes God uses the simple to confuse the wise. And then we have David Koresh. I remember when my nephew graduated from Alpine College in Texas. And about 6 hours away, they had the roadblock that when David Koresh was and his cult was starting to do all what they were doing. And when he was killed, his mom said that at the age of 12, he had the entire New Testament memorized. He memorized the whole New Testament. I don't think he died a happy man. He didn't, because reading the Bible will not bring you joy, but accepting Christ and following his word will make all the difference. This is what a praise work, that you can see a difference, that you don't just say, but no. No, he said that he was going to do this, and he did it. Wow, that's a magnificent. They needed to put that up. Somebody did it. I don't know who did it, but because whoever did it, it looks good, doesn't it? It makes us feel good, and it encourages us. So I don't think I'm going to have time. I'm going to have to. We stop at 9:30? Okay, I'm gonna try. If not, I'll stop. We need to be careful. And so Pastor Gotch, okay, it's kind of, but he was a pastor that lived in California, but he was raised in Wisconsin. Anybody here from Wisconsin? I think, yes. And, of course, he was a fanatic of the Green Bay Packers. And so in 1996, 97, when they went to the Super Bowl, he was all excited. He was in California. And then the following, they went back-to-back. They went, the next year, they went back to the Super Bowl, and they played against the Broncos. They pray against the Broncos. And they have that NFL experience on Saturdays. What they do before the Super Bowl, they have where you can go and sign autographs with your favorite football stars, and you buy jerseys, and you go downtown, and you have a great time. So he said, Being over there, I went to San Diego where they were going to play. On that Saturday, and I took my sons, we had an experience of our life, okay? And then Sunday, he was going to start a revival at his church. He preached the Sunday school, he preached the morning service, and then he preached on the evening where the Super Bowl took place. But he said, thank God for VCRs, he recorded the game. And he said, when the game was over, he couldn't, and everyone went home, and he said, I got the family, and we were on our way, all happy, and we sat down, we got home, we sat down, and we put the appetizers and everything, the munchies, and we put nachos and everything. And we were sitting down, and we were watching the introduction. The players were being announced, and they were going in. and everything was going good, and all of a sudden they start the coin flip, and as they are about to start, the phone rings. Okay? The phone rings, and my wife, he says, tells me, it's for you. And he said, I didn't want to get the phone. Get it away from me. Okay? And so he says, he put the VCR on pause for a second there. Give me the phone. And he says, hello? And on the other end was a young teenage girl from his church that was a college student. And she called Pastor Gosh, crying. I don't know if I'm saved. I need to make sure. Can you help me? And he puts his phone saying, I preached 3 messages in the morning. Why couldn't she get saved over there? What is going on? He was all, I mean, couldn't she have gotten saved on those 3 messages? Why now? I mean, I preach so hard. Why now? That's a flesh right there. We need to be very careful. So he says, he was trying to convince her through the phone to get saved, and it didn't work. And he goes, and finally I said, no, Lord, do you want my wife and I to go over? And she said, please. So he hung up the phone, not too excited. And so he goes to the, within a few minutes, they got there. And the mom went to the other room and praying for the daughter. And they opened the Bible and they explained to her, you know what? She said, I've been coming to church and I don't know if I'm saved. And so they assured her and she accepted the Lord. That young lady accepted the Lord, and you know what? That ever since she accepted the Lord, she was all excited. That young lady was all excited, and he said, and so was I. Seeing the joy of that young lady coming to the Lord made my day right there. And so when it was over, he said, let's go home, and what's the game? I mean, Lord, you can't let the Green Bay Packers lose. After all, I preached 3 services and I sacrificed myself and then I came over here. So certainly you can't let my team win and lose. And when he got home, I can see in the facial expression of my son that we had lost. And you know what? He said, The players of that time, he said, are all forgotten. Nobody remembers them. They don't even care about that Super Bowl anymore. Everybody forgot about that. But one thing I have never forgotten, the face of that young lady when she got saved. The joy it gave her and the joy it gave my wife and I. That joy, that lady now has graduated from West Coast, and she is a teacher, a musician, and a coach. And she is on fire, and she has made all the difference in the world. And he said, and I thank God that I was a part of her salvation. I thank God for what's going here. I thank God for my brothers and sisters that John called me, texted me. I've been thinking of you. That lifts me up. When people call you, how you doing? I called Lou. She's over there in Tonopah. I called her, and this time she didn't pick up, but I always call people that I don't see. I try to call them. You know what? When you call me, it brings joy. And this is where Paul is saying, joy in serving the Lord. So this is where we've gone and we are going to stay. So again, there is joy in suffering, but there is joy in serving the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we give you the honor and glory. What a privilege, Lord, it is to be able to serve you. What a privilege it is to serve one another, Lord, to be a light unto the world, that what we have done has not been in vain. Father, you saved us and you keep on using us. Even when we think that we're insignificant, Lord, you always have a plan for us. And you're willing to put us in your service if we're willing to do our part, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Be with Pastor Cook and watch over him, Lord. Give him the anointment of your Holy Spirit and let him speak with authority. Open our minds, our hearts, so that we can listen to what you have to say, and help us not just to retain what he said to us through your word, but let us put it to practice in our lives, and we'll give you the honor and glory. Be with those that are on their way, Lord, and we give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you.